Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a good morning, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad to be alive? And I tell you, in the family of God, this is exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, let's see. Did you all get your Slubris in this week? Slubris activity is health-promoting activity. Exercise, you know, watching what you eat. Serving the Lord, that's salubrious activity. You know, that's salubrious. So, we're going to recognize the graduates. Anybody here graduating? Right there? Right there? Okay. Can you guys come up? Whoever's graduating, either from college or from high school, last service we tried to get the nursery school graduates to come, but okay, come on up here. Anybody else? We only have two? All right. Okay, yeah, let me grab this. I want you to tell your name and let's see, we got a mic you can use here. Yeah. And you know, whatever your plans are, if you don't have any, that's okay. But I'm telling you, you don't want to be desultory. Desultory is to be without a plan. You don't want to be without a plan. I like that word. So go ahead. Tell us your name and what you're going to do and what you have. See, okay?
My name's Kyle Reineke. And I'm going to go to Columbus State, and I'm hoping to go into education and also like youth ministry.
All right.
My name is Nathaniel Weiskop. I plan to go to Edison Community College, where I will major in business management, since that's a general field, I can pretty much use that anywhere. And that's my plan for now.
So you're gonna be what now?
Business manager.
Business manager. Oh, okay, you're gonna teach your dad how to do something, huh? Wait! No, don't. Now you know, Scott, I love you. You know. I know you do, but are you excited?
Yeah.
Isn't it kind of bittersweet right now graduating? I mean, you know, you always wanted to, and then you know you're gonna miss your friends, and it's like, wow, that's a big world out there. You kind of feel that? Well, God has a plan, doesn't He? He does. You know what? I have. So you're going to be a teacher and a businessman. All right. We need teachers and we need good businessmen. That sounds good. Well, here, what we always do is we want to share a scripture with you. And we got a cross pin set for you here. I'll let you pick out which one you want. And then the reason we give you this pin set is so you can write your vision down. Because we want you to understand it. Without a vision, your plans will perish. You have to have a vision. You have to see yourself being that businessman, working, you know, prospering, doing whatever. And you have to see yourself being a teacher. If that's what your vision is for your life, you want to see that. See yourself doing that. And you will get there. And here's the idea. Habakkuk chapter 2. It says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will surely come. The vision that you have will come to fruition if you have a vision. It will happen, but you got to see it. If you can't see it, it won't happen. It will not happen. So, I want you to come here and pick out a pen set. Come on over here. I see you got blue. Now, surely you don't want baby blue, do you? If you want baby blue, you can have baby blue. All right. A red, and that's stainless steel. Those are nice, aren't they? I know. So you pick out which one you want. All right. Okay. Hold still. Now we're gonna pray for you. Aren't you all proud of them? I mean, really. You know, this is a big step in life, you know. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pray for them right now. And I want you all to extend your hand out here, and we're just going to pray for Kyle and Daniel. Nathaniel. All right. Kyle and Nathaniel. Okay. We're going to pray for them. All right. Father, right now, we just thank you for Kyle and Nathaniel. Lord, we thank you for the vision that you've given each of them and the call on their life, Lord. Lord, help them to hear your word today on this vision. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in their life. We thank you, Lord, that you do have a plan to prosper them, and it's plans of peace and not of evil. Now, Father, we just ask in the name of Jesus that you fill Kyle and Nathaniel with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that, Lord, they will have a walk worthy of you, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, that Kyle and Nathaniel will be filled with your spirit, and the joy of the Lord will be their strength. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for what you're doing in their life. Continue to help them to see the vision that you've called them to, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, forever. Amen and amen. All right, man. God bless you. All right. God bless you, Nathaniel. All right. All right. That's huge. Okay. Now, what have we been talking about? Having a prepared heart, right? So, and it's the whole idea of temptation is what we've been talking about. Because temptation is really... Everybody's going to be tempted, aren't they? Remember I said last week, you're brain dead if you're not being tempted. We're all going to be tempted in areas of our life. And that's just the way it is. Jesus was tempted, right? He was tempted in all points, like just as we are. We're going to read that verse here in a moment. But this idea of being tempted is something that we got to raise our level of consciousness and awareness, because a prepared heart is what's going to keep you from falling into temptation. Rehoboam, in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14, it says that Rehoboam, it says, because he did not prepare his heart, he fell into evil. He fell into evil because his heart was not prepared. And so the idea is, if you have a prepared heart, I honestly believe that you can avoid any temptation if your heart has been prepared. I don't care what you're facing. If your heart is ready and prepared, you can defeat and rise above any temptation that comes your way. No temptation will overtake you if your heart's prepared. And what's the word prepared mean? Remember? It means what? It means steadfast. It means advance. So it's an advance, in advance. It means advance, it means fixed, right? It means direct. That's what prepared means. So when your heart is fixed or steadfast on the Lord, it has a way of protecting you from falling into temptation or from other things impressing you, leaving an impression on you. It's like I shared that example of the gentleman that laid the concrete on our patio out here at the church here. He He did some concrete work for us, and years ago, he was in a group that I was leading and I was helping him with, and one day I went by to see him. He was laying this concrete, and there was this, he put out these big cones to keep these trucks from backing up onto this concrete. And I remember him telling one of the drivers, he said, you know, this concrete needs to be set, it needs to be fixed before you can back up on here. Because he says if it's fixed, it won't leave an impression in the concrete. But if it's not fixed, if it's not set, then you can leave an impression that we're not going to be able to get out. It won't be able to be removed. You see that? When your heart is fixed, other things won't be able to leave impressions on your life. And that's what David said. He said, my heart, in Psalms 57:7, he says, my heart is steadfast. My heart is fixed on you, O God, and I will sing praise to you. So his heart was fixed. Now, why is that significant? Why is that important? That's important because Saul was trying to kill David. And in that psalm, Psalms 57:7, he was talking about being in that cave. He said, and that's what he was saying, my heart is fixed on you, O Lord. In other words, when he was in the cave, his heart was fixed on the Lord. So he was in the cave hiding from Saul. Saul had taken his wife and given his wife to another man. Saul was a king then, see, and he took his wife and gave his wife, David's wife, and gave her to another man. And also tried to kill him. He was out to kill David. Saul was. So Saul was chasing David, and David ended up going in this cave and was hiding in the recesses of that cave. Now, here's a man pursuing to kill David. David finds out that Saul's in the cave and he's sleeping. David has every opportunity to kill Saul, to kill him. And most men in those days, when somebody was pursuing you to kill you and treated David the way they would have killed him in a minute, the first chance. Well, David had every opportunity to kill Saul while he was sleeping, but he didn't. You know what he did? He cut a piece of his robe. He cut a small piece of his robe, and then when Saul woke up, he said, see, I could have killed you, but I didn't. I'm not out to destroy you. And Saul was overwhelmed by that and cried out, began to weep. He cried out and pronounced that David was going to be the next king. You see, Saul felt so bad that he was trying to kill David and all he had done to David, and David wasn't out to hurt Saul at all. Now, what's your point? It's because David's heart was fixed, he didn't take matters in his own hands. You see that? All the injustice that Saul was bringing upon David, okay, all what he was doing to David didn't cause David to retaliate and take matters in his own hand because his heart was fixed. You see, he did it the Lord's way. And that's what God is calling you and I to do. If our heart is fixed and prepared, no matter what people do to us, we're going to continue to do it the Lord's way and not take matters in our own hands. Are you with me? And that's what happens. Folks, we are going to be tempted in all kinds of areas. We're going to be tempted to get hurt by people. We're going to be tempted when we're in a crisis to make wrong decisions. We're going to be tempted in all kinds of areas in our life. On a computer, all kinds of temptation is all around us. But you don't have to fall into it if you keep your heart prepared. Am I making sense? Okay. Now, we're going to look at temptation again today. Excuse me. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 15. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for all that you're showing us and teaching us and all, Lord, that you're doing in our hearts. Lord, continue to help us to keep our hearts prepared. Lord, let your word go forth and let it be planted and take root and produce fruit, Father, that will advance your kingdom. Lord, let none of us remain the same because we have been in your presence and received your word today. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of your people. Lord, again, let your anointing, your yoke-destroying burden power be released here today, and none of us remain the same because we have been with you and in your presence and in the body of Christ. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. All right. Okay. So, Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points just as we are. You know what? He was tempted the same way we are. And a lot of people think, well, he didn't have a computer and he didn't have to deal with pornography. He didn't have to deal with, you know, flashy cars and being all that. But you know what? He had the same type of temptations in the area of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The Bible says those points, those three points are in 1 John 2:14, 15, and 16, do not love the world or the things in the world, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world is passing away. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. You see? That's the points. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's where Jesus was tempted, just like you and I. In that area, he was no different than us. Well, you say, well, he was God. He was in the flesh, just like us. No different. And that's what we're going to look at today. That we don't have to fall into temptation. And we don't have to yield to it. We can rise above it. I'm telling you, I'm seeing too many people end up back in old patterns and old ways and their old lifestyles when they should be going forward. Am I making sense? We should be going forward and progressing. That's what the Word of God does. We're to live by every word that proceeds. Proceeds speaks of progressing. Progressing. We need to be going forward, moving on in our life, becoming what God created us to be. Amen? And that's why these temptations that are coming shouldn't be having the effect they have on our lives. And we're going to look at why they're having an effect on our life. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, there's no temptation such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with that temptation will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That you may be able to bear it. That word bear it means to stand up under the pressure. In other words, everybody is being tempted. Just like everyone else. In other words, there are a million other people having the same temptation that you have. You're not alone in your temptations. I've had people say, well, I'm tempted because of this. And people don't understand. Well, that type, no. There's millions of others being tempted the same way you are, with the same thing you're being tempted in. A lot of people think their little thing they're dealing with is, you know, something nobody else is dealing with. Yes, no. Everybody's being tempted, right? But there's none that is common that we can't escape. We can escape it. You see that? And to escape it would be to go God's way. And to bear it. And that word bear it means to stand up under the pressure. There is most temptation is self-imposed. It's self-imposed. You know what? It comes from the inside. It's what you want. It's your own desires. It's your own desires. The Bible says God doesn't tempt anyone. He cannot tempt anyone with evil. But everyone is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And when desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. It brings forth death. Death means separation from God. That doesn't mean lie down physical dead. It means, it could mean that, could result in that, but it ultimately means separation from God. And so that happens by our from our own desires, what we want, and what's coming out of us because of the pressures that are around us. I hear young people say they want a tongue ring. I want a tongue ring. And they get upset if their parents don't let them. Well, too bad. What kind of pressure is that? You see that? Or a tattoo. You know what? I'm not knocking people who have tongue rings and tattoos. I'm not. Believe me, hear me, I'm not. If you got that, that's all right. But why let that be a pressure on you? To conform to what somebody else is trying to get you to do. Right? You see my point? See, that's coming from you. Or you think you need to have this other woman and you're married. Or you think you need to have this other man and you're married. See, that's coming from you. Inside you. Your desires. Does that make sense? Remember I said, you know, if you're married and you want to have, you got a woman and or a man and you say you're going to go get ready to jump in the bed. And you say, well, let's join hands and agree on this and let's give God some glory in this and see how it's going to work out here. Guarantee it won't happen. You join hands before you jump in that bed, it's not going to happen. Does that make sense? That's a prepared heart. That's a prepared heart. See, we don't have to fall into that stuff. We can rise above it. Every addiction, you don't have to fall into addiction. You can rise above that. You've got, if you are born again, you know what? You have the resurrection power in you. Inside of you. And I'm going to tell you what, that is a power that nothing can reckon with if you understand it. And little addictions and things like that, folks, you can come up, rise above that, and you can defeat that. Drug addictions, alcohol addictions, sexual addictions, any kind of addiction, you can rise above that. Because you got the power that raised Jesus from the dead inside of you. And when you realize that and understand that and believe that, I'll tell you what, you're going to be a force to reckon with. Am I making sense? Does that make sense? That's how it is, folks. Every time we yield to temptation, it really is a reflection of our identity. We don't really understand who we are and the truth about who we are. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4. I remember when we used to go grocery shopping, and there would be this grocery cart of cans that would have dents in them, like dents like on the side, and they would be, you know, cheaper. And I found out, I always thought that those dents got in those cans by dropping the cans, but the dents weren't put in the cans because of dropping them. They were put in there because the atmospheric pressure was greater than the pressure inside the can, and it causes the can to collapse. You see that? We allow pressures from the outside to affect us, and it causes us to collapse and yield when temptation comes from the inside because of what we want. Does that make sense? And that's what, folks, if we have a prepared heart, we don't have to collapse and we don't have to buckle when temptation raises its head at us. You know what? The enemy can't deceive you. I mean, he can't. The only thing he can do is deceive you. He can't really hurt you. He can deceive you, get you to believe a lie. And that's what he's constantly doing. He's trying to get you to believe something else, or get you to look at something else, or get you to think you need something else. And he does it through deception. That's why Jesus said over and over, do not be deceived. Why? Because we can be deceived. Right? And the word deceived means to believe a lie. But God is always trying to get you to believe the truth. See, he does the opposite. He's always trying to get you to believe the truth. Why? Because the truth is, now you're becoming what you were really created to be. You see that? Now, are you with me, Matthew chapter 4? I'm not there yet. Okay. Matthew chapter 4. Okay. Verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, the tempter, look at that, you see? That's what the enemy's called. He's called the tempter. So temptation is, he's got something to do with it. Because the Bible says God cannot tempt anyone with evil. You see that? So the enemy is always the one bringing the temptation. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. What is the enemy doing here? In two different places in this passage, he's getting him to question who he is. If you are the Son of God. If you are. How did Jesus respond? It is written. Because that was the truth. That was his identity. You see, the enemy is always trying to get you to question your identity, who you are, if you are the Son of God. And you know what? That is the root of all temptation. If you understand what we're talking about today, you are going to be able to defeat temptation. Because when you know who you are, you're not going to yield to it. You're not going to give in to that temptation. When you know who you are in Christ, you know what? Because you're believing what God says about you more than what anybody else is saying about you. You see, that's the idea. You got to believe what God says about you more than what your parents say about you, more than what your spouse says about you, more than what somebody's criticizing you all the time about you. See, if you're around somebody who's constantly criticizing you, that can beat you down. That can cause you to go into depression. Somebody who's always criticizing you, always bringing up your bad point, always, that can beat you down into depression. I've heard people committing suicide over that. What about that little boy, 11 years old, committed suicide because they kept calling him gay? They kept calling him gay. He ended up committing suicide. You know what? He started to believe what somebody else was saying about him. Did you see that on the national news? He was believing what somebody else was saying about him. You see, folks, that's what the enemy is constantly trying to do. He's trying to get you to believe something else about you other than the truth about you. And that's what will cause you to fall into all kinds of mess. That's why you got to know who you are. Am I talking to the right people today? You got to know who you are. You know, that is the only way. You got to see yourself the way God sees you. You have to see yourself the way God sees you. He says you're more than a conqueror. You're not just a conqueror. He says you're more than a conqueror. He says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If God be for you, who can be against you? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, right? You have to see yourself doing that. Just like these young men have to see themselves in the vision that God has. If they don't see it, it won't ever happen. If they don't see themselves being a teacher or a businessman, guarantee it won't happen. You got to see, you have to see it. You have to see what God says about you. That is huge. And you have to believe it. You have to believe it. You have to believe it. Jesus was tempted just like we are. You know what? Jesus had to have his diapers changed. Jesus went to the bathroom just like you and I. Jesus was no different than you and I. Are you with me? He was in the flesh. Well, you say, well, he was God. Folks, he had the same temptation. His mother had to explain to him that Joseph wasn't his father. And he had to believe it. He had to believe what God said about him in order to resist the temptation that came against him. And that's just the way it is with you and I. When you and I believe what God says about us, no matter what comes our way, we can resist it. And it will never take us down. But if we believe it, we're going down. You see, it's all about who you are. Doesn't this make sense? I'll tell you what, this makes too much sense. Jesus, you know what? When he was in this temptation, he was 30 years old. He was at the beginning of his ministry. If you go on in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, where the same temptation was, right after that, Jesus began to preach. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he preached that, and he closed the book, and he went and he sat down. He sat down. And I was studying under a theologian, and this theologian said he did the history on that area where he sat down. That is where the chair was, that whoever sat in that chair, that was the Messiah. So when Jesus sat down, after quoting that out of Isaiah's prophecy, he sat down and said, "I am the Messiah." Jesus knew who he was. You see that? He knew who he is. When you know who you are, that temptation comes, you're going to be able to resist it. Come on, folks. When you know who you are, you're not going to yield to that mess. You're not going to get your feelings hurt every time somebody says something negative about you. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to yield to the financial, emotional, you know, go out and spend and spend and spend. Because, no. You're going to have more self-control in your life. Does this make sense? Boy, this is huge. You got to see and know who you are. I am here to tell you. You can't just listen to what other people are saying about you. Man. Doesn't that make sense? How many times do we listen to what other people are saying about us? And we allow it to get on us. We heard what somebody else said. If I did that, I couldn't. There was no way I could begin to do this. I hear stuff about me all the time. Sometimes I'll read about it in the paper. You know what? That just means I'm doing something. Folks, listen to me. That's why we got to know who we are. And when that stuff comes, you're going to be able to keep loving people. You're going to be able to love your enemies. You're going to be able to bless those who persecute you because you know who you are. And you know what? When you have that, that's security because you know the truth on the matter. You know the truth. And that's, remember, God does not rejoice in iniquity, but he rejoices in the truth. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but love rejoices in the truth. 1 Corinthians 13:6. God rejoices when you know who you are. It makes him happy. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. God is rejoicing when you are getting the truth on who you are. You know what, folks? I'm convinced that the more we know who we are, the more people we are going to have influence on, the more people we are going to help. And I'm telling you what, folks, some of you are in crisis situations right now. And you know what? We're all going to face crisis. But if we stay in the truth, we're coming out. We're coming out, and we're gonna prosper, and we are going to increase. I was talking to somebody earlier, and their wife left them years ago, and they're doing very well. Remarried, and they're doing very well. And that one, the woman that left them, not doing so well. All kinds of stuff going on. Turned their back on God. Let me tell you something, folks. If God is in the picture, if you're putting him first in your life, I don't care what you face in this life, you're going to make it. And you are going to be secure, and you're going to be able to go in the direction that he has for you if your heart is prepared. Am I making sense today? Are you hearing this? Do you see other people just going to church and go back into the old mess? You know, a pig, you can take a pig and you can pull him out of the mud, wash him off, clean him up. I mean, put a bow around his neck and let him go, and he'll jump right back in the mud. I don't want to be like an old pig, do you? There's a picture. Oink, oink. But folks, it is so important that we get the truth on the matter. And as we get that, it's going to liberate us to be everything God created us to be. You see this? I was reading an article not long ago, and it was about the Twin Towers. And this plane, when the first plane hit the first tower, these corporate heads were on this elevator. They were on this elevator, and there was the window washer was on there as well. And so the elevator stopped when the plane hit, and they all began to panic in the elevator, except for the window washer. He had a tool, and he pried the doors open and looked out and says, hey, we are between the 47th and the 48th floor. He says, there is a bathroom on the other side of this wall. And so he pried that door open. He got another tool out and pried the door open and took that tool and literally beat a hole through this brick wall. They all climbed through this hole into the bathroom and out, and then the next plane hit. What's your point? My point is, that window washer, he was just a window washer with all these big executives on there in a crisis situation. He let them out because he knew the truth about that building. You hear me? He knew something about that building that they didn't know and realize. You know what, folks? As you and I are, you know what? There's crisis all around us. And people are in crisis. But the more truth you know about you, the more you are going to lead others out of crisis situation. And folks, some of it has life and death. And God is calling you to a closer walk with Him. Am I making sense? Every one of you in this room, God is trying to speak to you. He's trying to, you know what? He comes in a still, small voice. He's not going to be loud and slobbering and spitting all over the place like I do sometimes. He's going to be in a still, small voice. Still, small voice. That's why you got to get quiet and you got to receive from Him. What's He saying to you? And get His word out and read it. And He'll speak to you. He'll give you direction in life for everything you're looking for in life. Life is a series of problems. A series of problem after problem after problem. God has the answer. And He will give you every answer that you're looking for. And He'll give you the truth on the matter about who you are. Because He loves you. You see, that's the whole idea. We don't really realize how much God loves us, or we wouldn't fall into that mess again. We would never fall into it again. Where's the music, folks? We're going to do this last song, but I got a brief word to close with. So hang with me.